may be seated if you like. Stand if you will.
In awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars.
Thank you, Phil, with me. What a Savior. We have a Savior that deserves our greatest love. And let me cut that off. Hey, we have a Savior that deserves our greatest love. Do you love Him? Are you ready for Him? Are you looking for Him to come? He came the first time. We're celebrating Christmas, and may I say Merry Christmas to all of you. I went in the store this morning, and they said, Happy Holidays. I said, no. It's Merry Christmas. It's Merry Christmas. And I do that everywhere I go. I hope you'll do the same. Don't let nobody say Happy Holidays. You correct them and tell them, well, it's Merry Christmas for me. Don't condemn them. Be nice. Have a smile. Don't be ugly, but make sure you stand up for Merry Christmas, okay? I hope you will. Now, today, what are we going to look at? We're going to look at the wedding garment, the royal wedding garment. You're talking about a royal wedding. This wedding will be the most royal wedding there's ever been. It will be Jesus Christ and His bride, the Son of God, the risen Lord, the Christ who is right now at the Father's right hand interceding for us. He's coming to get us. That's the rapture. 7 years later, we'll come back with Him to the earth. But during those 7 years, while hell is going on the earth, we'll be having a wedding supper, a wedding feast, a wedding celebration up in the sky. The Bible calls it the sea of glass. the sea of glass, a great expanse where all the saints of the ages will gather together with the angels of God. God will move his throne out of the temple into this area called the sea of glass. He will be right there with us, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The angels, the seraphims, the cherubims, the saints of God. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I don't want you to miss it, but you've got to be dressed for the wedding. That's just simple. You don't go to a wedding in your overalls, do you, sir? You don't go to the wedding in your jumpsuit, do you, ladies? I mean, when you think about all of this, it's so easy to know that the wedding will be furnished with a marvelous, marvelous company of guests, and every guest will have on the wedding garment. Every guest will have on the wedding garment. And in a little bit, we're going to go to Matthew 22. We're going to see where Jesus literally tells his servants to take a man out of the wedding preparation because he doesn't have on the wedding garment. Now, if Jesus does that in his own writing, in his own teaching, in his own words, then it's not going to be changed for nobody. There won't be no excuses. There won't be no way around. It will just simply be, are you dressed for the wedding? Now, the thing about it is, when the rapture takes place, you'll either have on the wedding garment or you will not get it between here and there. The wedding garment must be in your possession right now if you're ready for the rapture. You must right now be dressed. Right now, not tomorrow. Right now, be dressed for the wedding. Are you dressed? Are you dressed in the wedding garment? Brother Chambers, what is the wedding garment? Well, the Bible said it's the righteousness of the saints. That's God's word in the book of Revelation, the righteousness of the saints. Not just his righteousness, but your and his righteousness. His righteousness in you. You must be righteous. You just can't claim what he's done for you at this point. You've got to have surrendered to his righteousness. Oh, yes, we're saved by grace through faith, and that alone, no good works will save you. But when you stand before him, you must be dressed in the righteousness of the saints. And that's what he calls it, not me. You'll find that in the book of Revelation, and we will read it, okay? We will read it today so that you can make sure you understand. Now, welcome to Open Bible Dialogue on this Sunday, 10 days before Christmas. This Sunday, 10 days before Christmas. I listened this morning to Go Tell It on the Mountains that Jesus Christ has come. Go tell it on the mountains. I wanted to play that song, and I couldn't find it. I wish I'd had it, because it was a little too late. I did get it to hear myself, but I wasn't going to try to play it for you on my little cell phone, because you wouldn't have heard a good copy of it. But I tell you, I've been looking for a great wonder in the heavens above. The Bible says that in Acts 2, that there's going to be wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. And he says it very plainly before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. So it's got to happen before Jesus comes to set up his kingdom on the earth. Now, you know there's a rapture where he comes in the midair. And then we go back to heaven with him for the marriage supper. And then we come back with him to set up his kingdom on the earth. And these signs and wonders must appear in the earth before we return with him. That means sometime between now and when we come back to reign on the earth 1,000 years. It could be tomorrow. It could be a year from now. It could be right after the rapture. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. He just said these signs will be before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. You got that plain. That's in the book of Acts chapter 2. Go read it. Begin with verse 17. And you'll have all the words plain as day. There's no interpretation needed. They're just plain. He says it. That settles it. He says it, that settles it. I wish people would accept that with the Bible. He says it, that settles it. He said it, that settles it. The rapture will take place at any moment, and I want you to have the wedding garment. You don't get the wedding garment after you go to heaven. You get the wedding garment before you go up in the rapture. If you don't have the wedding garment, you cannot go up in the rapture. Do you hear me? Are you understanding? If you don't have the wedding garment. So we're going to dive in the Bible and we're going to try to see about this wedding garment. Now, let's go and start with the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Chapter 25. That's a very, very wonderful place to start. It really is. Chapter 25. And let's look at this great moment when we will be caught up to go to the marriage supper. Now, notice that this makes it plain that going to the marriage supper is when the rapture takes place. We leave here in the marriage supper, in the rapture, to go to the marriage supper. The marriage supper is immediately after the rapture in the heavens above on that sea of glass of which John saw in Revelation 4. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, notice kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom on earth, but the kingdom of heaven, be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Notice the word bridegroom. You know, when you see the word bridegroom or bride, you're talking about the wedding celebration. And it starts right here on the earth, not the celebration, but the trip to the celebration starts right here on the earth at the moment of the rapture. If you're not ready for the rapture celebration in the heavens, then you can't go in the rapture. You'll have to get ready after the rapture has occurred and then come up through the tribulation rapture at the middle of the tribulation, at the middle of the 7 years. You don't want that. I'm telling you, the hell on earth between the rapture and the middle of the tribulation is not something you want to sneeze at or something you want to pay no attention to. Now listen, and five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Then they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So here are five foolish virgins who go toward the wedding. They are headed for the wedding. You've already saw they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. They're waiting to go out of here to be the bride, to go up with him. But these are five foolish virgins who took no oil with them. They're virgins. They're living clean. They're not radical, crooks. They're not unclean, godless characters. They're virgins. But they have no oil in their lamp. They're just pew warmers. They sit in the church with a little enthusiasm, but not much. And they're pew warmers. They're sitting on the pews, and there's no fire. When the Spirit of God moves, they just watch other people as they rejoice and as the Spirit of God moves upon them. And there's a moving of the Holy Ghost. Then the five foolish virgins took no oil with them. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had a backup supply. I like that. You know, I try every day to get a backup supply. I go to that altar every morning about 6 o'clock, 5:30 sometimes. Occasionally, I'm a few minutes late. Today, I was more than a few minutes, but I still got here before the hour was up, in which I'm designated to meet with him. But I do more than an hour, I promise you. But they took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had oil in the vessel, and they had oil in reserve. While the bridegroom tarried, we're right now living in the spirit in which the bridegroom is tarrying. The bridegroom is waiting. What is he waiting for? The Father to say, go get the bride. It's the Father that knows when that day will be. Not even the angels know. And so the bride is waiting for the bridegroom to come. The bridegroom is waiting to come when the Father says to come. The Father knows the hour, the time, the moment. And so the bridegroom is waiting for the Father to give the direction. It's time to go get your bride. And that can be any moment. We do know that the things that have happened in my lifetime, especially since 1948, I was born in 36. So 12 years after I was born, Israel became a nation. And everybody thought for sure from 48 for what 20 years, the rapture would take place any minute. And it could have. It really could have. Because nothing was more preparation and prophetic fulfillment for the time of the end than Israel becoming a nation after nearly 2,000 years. I mean, that was the most miraculous moment in human history, is when Israel, the nation of Israel, the very family of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nation that God had given Israel to Abraham and for all of Israel, the moment that they went back home and became again a nation called Israel, it was a marvelous fulfillment. Now, God didn't intend it to be right then that the rapture would take place, but many other events have occurred. We're right now ready for worldwide control by a number system. We are worldwide ready for the use of all kinds of means of purchasing and buying and selling without the use of monetary monies. We are just ready. We're ready for world control. That's no question. And the Democrats right now, all over their political spectrum, they're getting ready for the control, the one world control. They want a nation without borders. They want America to be part of the one world order. And we're not right now part of the one world order in the way that they are fighting for. But I'm here to tell you, we are living so close. I mean, there's just no way. Brother Chambers has lived in this Bible. You know that. This program is now 47 years old. 47 years. I've been right here. I say 47. I think. Sometimes you can't keep up with 72, something like that, to 19. That would be a lot of years, friend. Been right here giving it all I got for the glory of God in His kingdom. Be about 47 years. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And I've been telling you that over and over. I've not told you anything different for 47 years I've been on this broadcast. I've been telling you the same. I've been warning you. I've been keeping up with the times. I've been trying to give you every prophetic thing I see as it's fulfilled. We are really at the hour, and I'm so excited. I'm living so expectant. I come down the highway now toward the church, watching in the sky for some sign, some wonder. Notice it says wonder. What if the angels would appear in the heavens over the next few days before Christmas Day, singing, "Go tell it on the mountains"? I thought, what a wonder that would be. It could happen. Something is going to happen. It may not happen right now, right this year. It may be next year. It may be the next year. I'm not a date setter. I don't believe in setting dates. I just believe in living every day ready to go. that's what's important. Bless your heart. Get ready to go. Get ready to go. So here we have a wedding about to take place. The bridegroom is coming, and these 10 virgins go out to meet the bridegroom. Now, Jesus has given us this. You can't play games with this. You can't interpret it with some kind of a nebulous kind of interpretation. It's going to happen as sure as my name is Joseph. There is no way for this not to happen. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him." The bridegroom cometh. Can you imagine? That's probably one of the things the old trump will say. You remember I told you about the talking trumpet? Only time in the Bible the trumpet is called a talking trumpet is Revelation 4. And it says very clearly that John saw and heard this trumpet, and it was talking. And to him it said, "Come up hither." Here it seems to say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Well, that's okay. That could be what he says to everybody. That would fit the whole world. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And anybody that knows anything at all about Christianity will know that's only for the raptured saints. That's only for those who have the wedding garment on, who are prepared, truly and surely prepared, and ready to go. Listen to that. "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.'" In other words, you got to get ready, friend. Because when it, you hear it, you've got to stand up and be ready to go. I mean, get out of the bed, get out of the car, whatever you're in. Well, you can go from in the car. You can go from in a plane as far as that's concerned. You can go from in a bus. You can go from the workplace. You can go from you know, wherever you might be. And when the cry is made, go you out to meet him. You will be ready and you will stand prepared to go. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Listen to that. How foolish. How foolish to go to a wedding. To go to a wedding is going, you know, it's, at this point, it's got to be some fire in the vessel. And so they don't have any oil. And so they say, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answer is saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that buy, and for yourself. Go ye to them that buy for yourself. Well, the wise sent them looking for somebody to get them oil. But as you read on, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Now, I'm trying to show you that immediately upon the rapture, we go straight to the wedding event. You've got to hear that. We go straight to the wedding event. There will be no preparation between here and there. There will be no getting a garment on the way up. You'll have the garment when the rapture occurs, or you won't have the garment for the wedding. Do you understand that? I'm trying to get that to everybody's head, because I know a world full of people, a church full of people, and I doubt this very moment, if the rapture would take place today, I doubt that as much as 10 or 15% of the Pentecostal church may go. Now, I'm not going to judge the Baptists and the Presbyterians and all of them. I'm just going to be part of what I'm part of. And I'm telling you, most people that I know are not ready for the wedding. They don't even think about it. They don't even give it a thought. The Bible says, unto them that look for him shall he appear. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. So I'm telling you, here they are, and the foolish go to get oil, and while the foolish go to get oil, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Did you hear me? And the door was shut. I'm telling you, when that rapture has taken place, the door will be shut. And they won't be coming knocking on the door as they try here. And afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, I know you not. I know you not. I say unto them, I know you not. Now, that doesn't mean that he had not known them, but it meant now in this hour, they are not ready for the wedding. And so simply the Lord is saying, you're not ready, and I don't know you. I cannot interpret. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Watch therefore. Are you listening to me? Are you watching for the coming of the Lord? Do you ever get up in the morning and think this may be the day? Are you that concerned? Are you so busy making a living, so busy buying homes and cars and all kinds of things that you aren't even thinking about the wedding? Aren't even thinking about the bridegroom cometh? Go you out to meet him? I'm here to tell you, I'd rather be ready when he comes than anything on the face of this earth. I know nothing else that's even important to me but to be ready when he comes and to go immediately in with him to the marriage. And the door will be shut. Now, I'm bringing you things like this because I care about you. I am not one of those people that is going to rejoice because you miss it. There won't be no rejoicing in me over nobody missing this event. It's an event of such magnitude, of such magnificence, of such beauty. I mean, what can you imagine? Can you imagine somewhere in the celestial heavens, this great sea of glass, Can you imagine the Father sitting on his throne in the midst of that great sea of glass? And can you imagine all this multitude of angels, of seraphims and cherubims, and all the great host of the heavenly crowd, and then the saints of God all the way back to the creation? God's great, God's greatest, the most wonderful people that have ever lived, from the Moses to the Joshua, all the way through the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the Peters and the Pauls and the Jameses. Can you imagine all of this? And that great crowd together having a celebration. Jesus is at the center of the celebration. The tables are set, and the magnificence of this crowd is beyond any of my ability to describe it. The tables will be so beautiful. The decorations will be so overwhelming. The sky will gleam with the light of glory and the majesty of the Lord. The angels will be everywhere in all of their beautiful beauty, beautiful glory, revealing and caring. And it will be just magnificent. And you can be there. Everybody living out there can get ready. The people that are dead can't get ready. It's already, they either were ready or they wasn't. And that's in God's hands. And I'm not going to go into judging them, but I'm going to tell you, you can get ready. You can get that garment on, find you a church altar and pray through and dedicate yourself to the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? Except you take up your cross and follow me daily, you cannot be my disciple. And I'm telling you, there'll be nobody there called the righteous saints of God who are not his disciples, because that's part of the whole business. Now, you know, I'm so overwhelmed with this, and I know I get all animated. I hope you love me for that. I am on fire. I am on fire. I have felt it lately, and I'm so near to going. You know, at 84, I'll be 84 in January now, next month, January the 19th, not far off. 84. Well, are you ready to go? You better believe I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go right now, but don't want to go. I want you to get ready. I want to help you get ready. I want to help bring that blessed outpouring of the Holy Spirit to our generation. The Bible said he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy, us all part of him, saying there'd be wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. He even said the sun will go out and the moon will be turned to blood. And that's going to happen now, between now and the return of Christ to set up his kingdom on the earth. You talk about scaring your socks off. You talk about shaking a world. They will either hate him and scream at him and blaspheme him and turn against him with greater vengeance than ever, or they'll come to Christ and be cleansed by the blood. The Bible says those people who come up out of the tribulation have washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. Notice that. Have washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that saves anybody from then to then, I mean, from beginning to end, I mean, all the way, it's the blood, the blood, the blood. And the blood will cleanse you, but the blood can't cleanse you unless you surrender. You've got to surrender to be washed in the blood. You can't walk down and shake a preacher's hand, and if he says to you, you believe in the cross? Yes, I believe in the cross. You believe Jesus died for you? Yes, I do. Or he'll say, you're saved. No, you're not saved just for saying those words. The Bible said the devil believes and trembles. Yes, the devil believes and trembles. You're saved by surrender, not by words. Not by some, you know, projection of yourself as a believer, but as your surrender of yourself to the Christ. Oh, if you've ever been born again, you need to be born again now. Now, you see what I'm talking. Matthew 25 says it so powerfully. Now, I want to show you the Lord himself, Jesus, not me, Jesus. Find somebody that tries to come to that wedding without a garment, without being dressed for the wedding. And when the king came in, that's Jesus, to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on the wedding garment. He saw there a man which had not on the wedding garment. Do you understand? He wasn't prepared. He didn't have on the wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in not having on the wedding garment? And he was speechless. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Imagine standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. That great company of all the saints of God are everywhere. And here's this man that comes in the door, and the Lord looks and says, wait, friend. Why did you come here without the wedding garment? And he is speechless. And then he says to the servants, bind him. Listen now. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's the picture. Matthew 22. If you don't trust me, go to Matthew 22. Start with verse 11 and read verse 11, 12, 13. And you'll see it. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot. So trying to get into this wedding without the wedding garment will be futile. There will be no possibility. There will be no excuse making. Nobody will say, well, he had this problem and he had that problem. His mama didn't teach him good, and there's many that wasn't taught good by mother. Daddy didn't teach him good, and there's a multitude that daddies don't take time to teach their kids nothing. I mean, we got a church world full of preachers that preach only those things that soothe the heart and soothe the conscience and give people a false hope. I mean, this is the day of cheap salvation, of cheap repentance, of cheap everything. I mean, you can buy cheap cars, you can buy cheap houses, you can buy cheap anything, and the church world is full of cheap theologies, or sin religion. You can sin every day. They call it sin-friendly churches. It's okay to be a sinner-friendly church, but not a sin-friendly church. We're friendly to sinners. I'd rather see a sinner come in as to see the saints come in, because I know that's an opportunity to win a soul to Jesus Christ. And so, you see the picture. There's going to be a wedding. It's as clear as the bell. You can't get around it. It's going to happen. Only those dressed with a wedding garment are going to go in. Plain, absolute, cannot be changed. Remember what I read to you in Matthew 13, or 22 and 13. Watch ye therefore. That was in Matthew 25, I'm sorry, verse 13. Watch ye therefore, that you be accounted worthy to escape. That's what the Bible says. Count it worthy to escape. I'm amazed at all of this. I'm amazed at how careless people are today. I really am. You say, Brother Chambers, are there good people that's going to miss this? You better believe you had the five virgins. Let's go a little further. Go to the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 3 where you got the revelation, where you got the Lord talking to the church. And what do you find? You find him as he goes to the church at Ephesus and writes them a letter. And he says to them very clearly, I want to read it. So I'm looking for it for you there. I want to read it. Make sure you hear it very plain and very clear. Okay? Revelation chapter 2, I'm trying to get to my right place here. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, I want to deal with that a minute. This is the Lord talking to the church of Ephesus. And he is saying, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, there's a church world full of people out there. I know them by the thousands who have left their first love. They used to be on fire. They used to wouldn't miss church on Wednesday night or Sunday night. They was in the middle of everything the church was doing. Revivals were their interest. They was always trying to win somebody to Christ. Their family members, they were telling them about Jesus. Their work companions telling them about Jesus. But slowly, they backed off. And they backed off. And now the Lord says to them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Have you left your first love? If you've left your first love, that means you don't have on the wedding garment. That's all it means. Simply, your wedding garment has vanished because of your carelessness. You have left your first love, and now you're just wandering around as a professing Christian with no possession. Repent. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works over. Do thy first works over, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick from thy place, except thou repent. Now, that's the Lord talking. And he's talking to the church at Ephesus, which means any church, your church, my church, anybody else's church. Anywhere there is a church, there are people in it that have left their first love. They used to be on fire. And he says to them, repent and do thy first works over. Do thy first works over, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of thy place. Now, these kind of teachings are they're just not being given to the congregations in most places today. I wonder how many out there that are listening to me, that your pastor or somebody that you know as a minister has preached to you about the wedding supper in the last 12 months. In the last 12 months, I'd like to do a survey if I could. I guess I don't have facilities like I need, but I'd like to do a survey and find out how many of you, I'll tell you how you can do it. You can send a text to my phone. You can send a text, 704-578-5788. Send a text. I got my phone right here. If you'll send a text, one sentence now, I'll read a few of them. Okay, I can do that. I hadn't thought about that. That'd be a good way to share something that you are saying out there. So if your church has preached on this, 704-578-5788, and I've got my text place up here, and so I can take any text you send over the next little bit. I'm going to leave it open, and I'll hear it blink if you send a text, and then I'll share it. If your pastor has preached on the marriage supper, how many are preaching on things like this? And I remember when I got saved, I heard it over and over and over. I mean, it was ingrained in my little head when I first got saved. I was warned about the rapture. I was warned about living clean and consecrated and paying my tithes and being faithful in the church and helping win the lost to Jesus. There was just so many wonderful things that I was preached regular. I mean, we're talking about 1952 when the Church of God that I was part of was just plain on fire. It was just plain on fire. Visit any of the churches you wanted to visit, and you'd get a message. You'd see the moving of the Holy Spirit. You'd hear singing that would warm your heart and excite you. Oh, it was great. It was wonderful. Man, would I like to go back to those days in the church. I'll never forget it. From 52 to something like 1980, almost 40 years, almost 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, almost 40 years, 30 years, I'm sorry. It was just on fire. It was just on fire. Almost to 1990. Well, it started cooling off in about 1980. I mean, they started compromising, letting the world in, letting people do things that never let them do. No longer is it wrong to drink a little booze and smoke a few cigarettes. No longer is it wrong to ignore the house of God on Sunday. I remember, oh, I long for those days when the church was on fire. So send a text if you'd like. And listen, if you have a question, if I'm saying something that you just can't grasp and you want to ask me a question, send it. I'll see if I can read. I've never done this now. So bear with me, okay? Be patient. I want you to be patient. It's very, very important. Now, let's move. Our time is just flying. But let's move to talk about the wedding garment. What is the wedding garment? I said to you a while ago what it was. Let's go to Revelation 19 and 8. I want to read it to you so that it's not just my opinion. Revelation 19 and 8. Revelation 19 and 8. Let me read it to you. And it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. For the fine linen. So they were dressed in white as an example of their righteousness. This was the wedding garment. The wedding garment was fine linen, which was an example of righteousness. It was seen as the example, the proof of the righteousness of the saints. So what are you dressed in? The righteousness of the saints. That's what your garment is. If you're not righteous in your life and you're not living a righteous life by the Bible. Now, who determines righteousness? The Bible. What did Jesus say in Luke 4:4? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe I have one here. I have not heard it like you preach it. I've not heard it like you preaching it. I've not heard it like you're preaching it. Well, I'm just giving you the Bible. You know that I'm not giving you something that's not biblical, that's not real. So here's a man. I won't give no names. He says he's not heard it like I'm preaching it. Am I preaching it wrong? Do you hear anything in these words that I'm saying that is contrary to the Bible? Correct me if I am contrary to the Bible. But don't try to correct me if I'm not contrary to the Bible, okay? Now here it says very plain that righteousness, that the linen garment that the saints are seen in at the marriage is the righteousness of the saints. So the garment is the righteousness of the saints. That is their garment. That is their garment. You got to understand that. You got to receive that. That's got to be a part of your thinking. Now, let me take you to Romans 6. Romans, you know, is the Romans road. You've heard that many times through the years. The Romans road, the way of salvation. The way of salvation. But the people who read and preach the Romans road don't preach it all. They just preach part of it. I want to give you something that will make you understand the wedding garment. The wedding garment, okay? How many of you want to know what the wedding garment is? Let me see your hand. Raise it up out there. Well, I can't see you. Well, you understand that. But do you understand what the wedding garment is? Do you want to understand what the wedding garment is? I want you to understand it. I want you to understand. Let's go to Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it? I'm sorry. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as was baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism and death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, righteousness of the saints is a newness of life. They are washed in the blood. They are made a new creature. They're not just forgiven of their sins. The power of sin is broken. They are dead in their baptism to Christ. And so the power of sin. You say, Brother Chambers, I'd live right if I could quit sinning. Well, you get your heart right with God, and he will work in you and impute you and then impart you his righteousness. And you will find yourself absolutely victorious over the devil. I mean, you will have no trouble saying no to sin when you're living delivered in Christ in his righteousness. You won't be going around looking for some woman to fornicate with or some man to fornicate with. You'll make a covenant with your eyes not to look on those men or women. I'm telling you, you can live righteous. And if you don't live righteous, you can't be a part of the bride. And he says here that you can be righteous because you will be dead in Christ. Oh, that's what being saved is. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now listen, I want you to go read it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. O-L-D, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I'm talking about the righteousness of the saints. I'm talking about the righteousness of the saints. You can't just walk down and shake a preacher's hand and get this kind of experience. It don't happen that way. You can just be baptized and get this kind of experience. It's got to come through prayer and surrender before the Lord, and he'll make you righteous in himself. He'll make you righteous in himself, but it won't just be righteous in him. He'll make you righteous in himself. He will make you righteous in himself. You can't be righteous. Your righteousness is a filthy rag. But his righteousness in you makes a new creature out of you. I'm talking to you about the wedding garment. And I'm telling you, you can come here to this altar this very afternoon and get down on your knees and repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you and then receive the cleansing of his blood and his righteousness. And you can become before the sun sets today. In fact, it don't take but seconds to truly be made a new creature in Christ. and to be in possession of His righteousness, not yours any longer, but His. And then you're ready to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. If I was you out there, and I'd quit going to church regular, and I'd quit living faithful, and I'd quit being dedicated to prayer and seeking God, living in the Bible, I'd get in my Bible and spend the rest of the day. I may stay up all night tonight to get myself ready. That's how concerned I am. I want you to be ready. I really do want you to be ready. Now, I want you to go to 1 John. I mean, there are some things in this Bible that will pure shake you. They will shake you. You're not being told them, I'm afraid. Now, anybody else? I don't guess there's been any other text. I'm looking for any other. I have not. Okay, here's another. Okay, I'm saving. I can't see good when I'm looking at the internet with being in a hurry. But let's go to 1 John. This is something wonderful. Chapter 2 and verse 3. Listen to this now. And herein we do know that we know Him. Herein we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Hey, did you hear that? His commandments? What commandments? The Ten Commandments. They're His. They're not mine. They're not just New Testament material or Old Testament material. They're Bible material. I remember when a newsman did a big thing. I'm trying to remember his name. I thought about it earlier today on the Ten Commandments. Everybody got a hold of that. That was Ted Koppel. Ted Koppel, is that right, Ted Koppel? I believe that's right, Ted Koppel. I remember that's been 25, 30 years ago. And he did this thing on the Ten Commandments, and it just went everywhere, everywhere. And he said, these are not suggestions. That was his words. These are commandments. And that's what I want to say to you. These are commandments. Now he said, and I'll read it again, verse 3, and herein we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now listen, don't stop. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith he knows Him and doesn't keep His commandments. How many of you keep the Sabbath day holy? How many of you keep the Sabbath day holy? Oh, Brother Chambers, you're going back to the Old Testament. Well, the Psalms 27 is in the Old Testament. And I can give you many great things that you preach in here that's in the Old Testament. So why you want to throw away the Ten Commandments? Don't throw them away. Get back. I have said over and over for years, the church will not have a Holy Ghost revival until they go back to keeping the commandments of God. And I really believe that. I really believe that. I know people that do have all kinds of standards. I mean, they got all things. A lot of the holiness people have any kind of a standard that they come up with, but they don't live by God's commandments. And I think that's pitiful. Don't go to telling me what you believe. Tell me what the Bible says. And tell me what the Scripture says. And live by God's commandments. And not something that you've concocted out of your own mind. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you. Listen to me. There's another verse here I want to read. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. But whosoever, listen now. But whoso keepeth His word, in Him verily is the love of God perfected. Whoso keepeth the word of God, in him the love of God is perfected. So holiness is the Bible. Righteous living is the Bible. I don't believe in preaching anything that's not plain in the Bible. I believe in preaching everything that is plain in the Bible. I've spent my whole preaching life, 63 years now, 63 years I've spent it living in this Bible and preaching this Bible, sermon after sermon, and I've done my best to get the word far beyond the walls of the church. I've been fussed at many times because I do so many things that are beyond the wall of the church building. I mean, we're talking about radio, we're talking about internet, we're talking about Facebook, we're talking about all kinds of materials that I've written. I've sent them to thousands, even tens of thousands of people. I've got my material all over the world in reality. I mean, I don't know a country that our material hasn't made its way into. When I did those 10 videos of the false anointing, they were translated in so many different languages and so many different countries. I went to a few myself. to kind of support and back up what they was already getting from the videos. I've just lived for the Bible going beyond these walls. I don't want to be part of a church that always just preaches to the choir and preaches to a small group of people in the congregation. You know why churches are dying by the tens of thousands? Because that's all they became, was a little group of people living in their own four walls where the preacher had no time for nothing but watching over them. They had no time for nothing but taking care of the preacher. And it just became a preacher, a congregation serving one another, and the world going to hell all around them and nobody doing nothing. I'm sorry. I can't be a part of that. I'm on this internet just like I am right now, on this Facebook, on this radio. I'm doing my best to get everything I believe out there as far as I can get it, because the coming of the Lord is at the door. And I'm telling you that when he comes, you will not go unless there's oil in your lamp and unless you've got on the wedding garment. And I'm telling you, the wedding garment is the righteousness of the saints. It is not what you profess. It is what you possess. It is not how you think, it's how you live. It's not what you claim, it's what you have. It's what you're doing and how you're obeying him. As I was studying this, I got to thinking about paying your tithes. That's a big thing in a Christian life. If you don't pay your tithes, you're stealing from God. You can no more not pay your tithes and have on the wedding garment. That is not possible. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Malachi 3 and 10. Let me read it to you. Malachi 3 and 10. And I read it to you. Listen to me. Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the wonders of heaven and pour you out a blessing which there's not room enough to receive it. You are cheating yourself when you don't pay your tithes. You're cutting your own throat. You're doing yourself damage. And you certainly are not wearing the wedding garment. You're certainly not ready to go with Jesus when he comes. Because when he comes, you must be doing his whole will. You can't just keep a few commandments. You can't just do a few things from the Bible. You got to live for him. Wow. What? Brother Chambers has just brought it to you the best I know how. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I just believe in the Bible. You don't have to live legalistically. Just live obediently. Legalism is when you try to force something on people. I ain't trying to force nothing on you. If you want to wear the red wedding garment and go with Jesus when he comes and enter into that great marriage supper, it's up to you. And if you do it, you've got to have on the wedding garment. And the wedding garment is the righteousness, notice, of the saints. The righteousness of the saints. Jesus' righteousness won't take you into that supper. Your righteousness. Now, he'll make his righteousness real in you, and that's what righteousness of the saints is. It's not you. It's him in you. It's you and him together. Neither one. You can't do it without him. You cannot do it without him. You can't be holy but by his grace. You can't be pure but by the righteousness of the Lord imparted and made manifest by the Bible and by the Holy Spirit and by the work of God in your life. All you got to do is live in the Bible and live on your knees and spend a proper time in the house of God. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Don't talk to me about going up in the rapture when you have quit going to church on Wednesday night and you've quit going to church on Sunday night and you've just got Sunday morning religion. You ain't going nowhere, friend. You aren't going nowhere. I'm telling you, you got to do something about the careless way you're living. You've got to do something about it. Now, I want to take some calls. I know I've laid it at you, and I want you to call me. I want to take some calls on the internet, okay? I'm going to open it up here, and all you got to do is call, and it'll click, and I'll read your question. Got to be one sentence, got to be light, and I'm going to slow up so I can read everything, so I can hear from all of you out there, and we're just going to have a good time together. That one man said, first he said, I know I have not heard it the way you preach it. Oh, I am saying thank you. Oh, I am saying, he sends a second message. Oh, I am saying thank you. Now, anybody have a question? Anything that I've said about the wedding garment, about this royal wedding, Send me a text right quick, and I'll read your text and answer your question. Isn't that wonderful? I love the way these things operate. And I'm a big man on social media. I'm a big man in using all the technology I can get my hands on, because I want to help as many as I can help, and I'm waiting for some more calls. 704-578-5788. 704-578-5788. 5788. I'd like to take three or four questions right quick. I got 10 minutes. And so I could answer probably 10 questions if you'd get on the phones. And I'm waiting for them to show up on my phone. I guess they'll come immediately. I think that's the way it is. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. We got good Wi-Fi here. So it should come immediately to my phone. And I'd love to read and answer your questions. We are just so close. We are just so near the coming of the Lord. And I don't want you to miss church tomorrow. I am looking for the grand day in God's house tomorrow. I promise you, I'll preach the word with all of my heart. We'll have a great meal after the morning service. We have a meal together. All our visitors are invited. And you're talking about grand food. Just plain, absolutely wonderful. The way people bring their food here and we have these great meals together. Well, any more texts? I would love to answer. I really would. 704-391-0588, and I will answer your text and tell you what I believe the Bible says in answer to your question. Okay? Grab your phone. I'm waiting on you. 704-578-5788, and I can answer your question. You can also call the phone number here, 704-391-0588. Either one of these now, I will answer. I will answer the live telephone call here at the church. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Or you can call 1-800-33-TRUTH. 1-800-33-TRUTH. TRUTH. Call me quickly. 704-391-0588. Love to answer your question. I'd like to know what you are thinking about the marriage supper. Do you understand that this is a definite, absolute, magnificent, grandiose event? Just any moment now, the bride, as soon as they leave here in the rapture, they go directly to the marriage supper. Do you understand? That marriage supper is in the sky, in the heavens. I believe I've got a call coming in here. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers. I don't have a question particularly. I call in and tell you thank you for your ministry over the years. The card, passing of your wife. You're doing great work, and I know you know that.
Well, I appreciate you calling, my friend. You know, it's a wonderful thing to preach the gospel, and I'm glad you appreciate it.
I certainly do. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, sir. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. I'm in Laurie, South Carolina.
Laurie, South Carolina. Are you hearing me today? Good.
I've enjoyed the message so much. I'm a preacher's kid, and I haven't heard a message like this since in the 1960s. My daddy was a pastor.
Since 1960, your father was a pastor?
Yes.
And he preached it?
He preached this kind of message all the time.
Do you know, I remember that. I was saved in 52. What was your father's name? I may have known him.
Well, we were in Loris in Tampa City. He preached several country churches.
You know, I used to pastor in Tabor City.
Okay, what's your name?
Reverend Joe Chambers.
Okay.
I pastored there from 1957 to January of 59.
You might have known my dad then. He was preaching then too.
I guarantee you I did. Praise the Lord, my sister. I'm so glad you listened to this. And I'm glad you can tell us that your daddy preached. They all preach what I'm preaching. I learned this from old-fashioned Church of God preachers and some Baptists.
I don't hear it like that much anymore.
Well, I don't preach it no other way. I'm going to preach it straight until Jesus comes.
Exactly.
God bless you.
God bless all of you.
All right, you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed. I was just listening to you on the radio, and I so appreciate the words that you've been preaching to us today.
You know, I preach this because this is right. It's in the Bible.
That's right. But I was just wanting to call and say hello, and I thank you for the good word.
Thank you, sir, and God bless your heart. I love all my friends everywhere, and that's two calls now from the people who listen to me out of South Carolina. I mean, well, out of Eastern North Carolina. What is it? 10? What's the numbers at that station?
I had 104.9. Yes, sir.
All right, everybody, 104.9, that's FM, 100,000 watts in eastern North Carolina, part of South Carolina. Anybody hearing me, give us a call. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I love this. I love getting calls. So I'll take any more, 704-391-0588. That's the radio. My cell is 704-578-5788. 704-578-5788. We're beginning to have more calls because I really believe the hour is upon us. It's almost over, my friend. It really is almost over. Very little time left. Very little time left. I'm trying to see if I've got another call here. Oh, nope, I don't have another call on my cell. But I'm here to answer questions, and I love these calls. How about that lady? Her dad was a minister, and he preached just exactly what I'm preaching. Well, everybody preached this. Baptists preached it. I'm telling you, the Baptists really, boy, some of the Southern Baptists, they were the biggest on the radio preaching these old-fashioned messages like you've heard me today. You got to live right to go to heaven. You aren't going to, I mean, this business of sin-friendly religion is from the devil. Do you hear me? If you think you can live like the devil and still go to heaven, I remember being at a funeral some time ago, and this pastor, this Baptist preacher, he's up there preaching, and he's telling everybody, now this man didn't get right before he died, but on the way to heaven after he died, he got right. God took care of that on his way from here to there. And he landed up there already prepared and saved. And I thought, man, you are an ignorant character. You are just terrible. What a pitiful mess for somebody to preach something like that. I'm overwhelmed when they do that. I really am. I really don't know how to deal with it. I want to just stand up. I had so many friends there, I couldn't stand up and make a nut out of myself. Although maybe that's what I should have done. I don't know. But I'm telling you, friend, we live in a day in which it is overwhelming, the things that are happening. It is overwhelming. I do not understand how anybody could be so foolish as the preaching world is today and what they're declaring, what they're preaching. And I'm telling you, the Lord is coming any moment. He's coming any moment. And I plan to be ready whatever happens. And I want you to be ready. Now, I got time, maybe one more call, 704-391-0588. My cell, 704-578-5788. I got one call on my cell, so it will work. I can do that, and so I might do that. Now, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, I'm going to do a special message from my home, a Bible study, and you don't want to miss it. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, you don't want to miss it, and it'll be from my home, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Hi, I'm calling from listed on 100.9 out of Fairmont, North Carolina, and I just heard Mr. Chambers, and I'm telling you, it was a powerful message, and it you know, it's waking up message, and it reminds me to live right and holy before a holy God, because he is coming back, and we want to be ready.
And he's coming for holy people, isn't he?
Yes, sir, he is. He is. He's a holy God, and he's coming out of a holy people. And I want to be ready. And I know that I have fallen so short in my walk, but I thank God for truth. When it's spoken, it convicts my heart.
And so you're starting today, and you're going to live ready, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I want to be faithful. I want to be humble. I want to be faithful. I want to be found forgiving others so I can be forgiven. And I want to be out walking in love.
I love you, my sister. God bless your heart.
Chambers, God bless you. Thank you for speaking truth.
Amen. I cannot do anything other. I cannot do anything other. God bless you. God bless you. What a day. What a blessing. My friend, I want to tell you, the Lord's coming.
The Lord is a strong tower.
All the righteous, come to church tomorrow. I'd love to have you. I'd love to have you. I'd love to have you. I'll treat you good.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. A strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
I love it, saints. Praise
the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Lord, Jesus is the name of the Lord, Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord.
Jesus is the name of the Lord.